And the roundtable is assembled to talk about Sunday's game between the Browns and the Redskins. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Jim, this has the feel of something more than your typical non-conference game. This, in fact, I think with so much national attention primarily on will he or won't he play Robert Griffin III, that storyline is big on a national scale. But I think equally large is the fact that the Browns have become so dangerous, if nothing else, a very big threat to the Redskins' playoff hopes.
Absolutely. And, you know, you take a look at two very hot teams right now. They've won four in a row and have been great since their bye week, and the Browns have been really very good since their bye week.
Yep.
And have won the three games in a row. And I think it's I think the dangerous part for teams looking at the Browns is not only the way that the Browns are playing, but how healthy the Browns are. I don't think there's any other team in the NFL at this stage of the season that would have everybody back and that on game day you have healthy scratches. I mean, that's what Pat Shurmur is now devising. Who plays? Well, it's really because of ability, not because of health. And I think that's what makes them very dangerous right now when a team comes in here at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I was able to write all week, and I will be writing on Sunday, so I am healthy.
You are healthy.
Ready to go. Yeah.
Good. I want to mark
that down. America's most watched right knee, I guess, is the storyline heading into the game. So we'll see. And, you know, I will say this too, Vic. You know, in being around the Browns this week, I have not sensed a confidence about this team. Unlike, this has been the most confident I've seen this team, let me say that, in 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never seen a locker room, and I think it's to what Jimmy says, it's they're healthy. They know that they can go at full steam on Sunday, and this team seems ready to go.
And, yeah, that whole issue about the quarterback and how they handle it, I don't even get that that's being viewed as much of a dilemma by this team. In other words, I think they say, bring him on, we'll deal with him, and if it's the other guy, we'll deal with the other guy. I don't sense that they're viewing this as, okay, our plan is messed up because we might not know until as late as Sunday morning who's playing quarterback for the opponent.
Well, and I think that they're properly taking a look at that and saying that's Washington's problem.
Exactly.
You know, if he plays or how much is he going to play, or if they have to bring in Kirk Cousins and let him play. So I think as soon as Monday hit and, you know, the question was arising, was he going to be able to play? I think that Pat did a great job in just saying, hey, listen, we're going to prepare like he's playing. I think the Browns have a mentality that he's going to play, and you're right, maybe an excitement to see him play. Let's get him at 100%. Now, we know that wouldn't be the case if he does play here on Sunday, but let's play against him because I think that they feel, alluding to what Tom said, is that they feel that bring anybody on right now. We're playing legitimate, good defense. We've taken the Steelers on. You know, we've taken anybody that's come down the road, we've taken them on.
And along with that focus that we talk about, Tom, the confidence that we talk about, there is the focus. There is this, I think, incredible focus in light of so many reasons why this team could easily be distracted. This uncertain future hanging over, you know, the head coach or the general manager, all the thoughts about what will this team look like come January and you know, will the new ownership management change things? And that hasn't been an issue. And you frankly, when you think about their ability to navigate through that, something like the uncertain Redskins quarterback situation is like a non-issue.
So what?
So what?
You know, we've been through much worse. I think that's been kind of the prevailing attitude. Yeah,
they've kept this focus, and I'm going to point to Pat Shurmur for his ability to just keep it on track. And I think the players are taking their cue from that.
I think that's a sign of a young team growing along with a young coach. I mean, we've talked about this for 2 years now, Vic, and I think we've really seen the growth of a coach before our eyes over the last couple of weeks, especially since the bye. I mean, this has been an entirely different team since the bye. They're 3-1, the only loss in overtime at Dallas. And, you know, much like the Redskins, I think they're 4-0 since their bye.
They are.
Both teams were really able to kind of take a deep breath at midseason and have really put a push on here.
Well, you know, if you remember, Tom, when the bye was coming up and after that last game, before they came back, they felt that they were going to clean some things up, you know, communications, getting the plays in on time, that they would clean up some office stuff, I think, and that hopefully you'd see it on the field, but they wouldn't come out and say what it was specifically, but it would get cleaned up, and I think it has been cleaned up.
There's no doubt about it. I think they're functioning better in so many ways. They look like a more organized team. And then this question's been brought up about the aggressiveness that we've seen in play calling, that Pat Shurmur, especially last week with the different looks that they brought in, the Wildcat and so forth, but even the week before against Oakland, going for it on fourth and one twice. And I just get a sense that this is driven as much by anything else as his confidence in the player's ability to carry it out that you wouldn't have had earlier. And that, you know, through the 0-5 start, I think there was less he could trust about what the players could handle than there is in these last months.
You just hit on the word. It is trust. It's about trusting young players, and they've had young players handling the ball all year, and they've had young players who've been thrown into tough situations on defense. So now it's gotten to the point in week 14, okay, guys, we've been telling you all year, let's see you do it now, and the kids are performing.
It's the Roundtable. Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And the defense, when you talk about health, Jim, that's where it's gotten the healthiest, this team, obviously. And you could see what it means to the defensive line to have Phil Taylor and Taba Rubin playing the way they are. But even more than that, the invigoration that you see from a 12-year veteran like Jaquay Parker. Yeah. I mean, I think that's been contagious. Frosty Rucker's presence as a veteran has been contagious, and you see everybody sort of responding to that, feeding off of that, and the two young guys playing well up front, John Hughes, Billy Winn. I don't know that any team can go that far deep on its defensive line and feel as good as this team is.
Oh, I totally agree with you. You know, the other thing is, a lot of times in the NFL, you take a look at an offensive line and you say an offensive line can wear down a defense, you know, through the course of a game. But right. I think it's opposite here. I think the Browns' defensive line has worn down some offensive lines in the last few weeks. And once they got totally put back together. The other thing I think, when you talk about Parker and Rucker, this was a team that certainly did not dive head first into the free agent pool. I mean, they kind of stuck their toe in the water and ended up with a couple of guys. But the couple of guys, you're right, you know, Parker and Rucker have been nice fits with Wynn and with all of these young players, John Hughes, and with players like that. But the key was, once you got Taylor and Rubin put in there together, you know, the defense took on a totally different look and temperament.
Jimmy, you make a great point there. I was thinking last week, actually, how'd you like to be an offensive lineman where, okay, Phil Taylor's in on first down, and then you get John Hughes in, and it's a little bit of a break, and then all of a sudden you look up, and it's like, oh, God, it's number 98 again. Here he comes.
Yeah, sure.
So I think
he's rested.
I think Jimmy's onto something. I mean, this is not, you know, this is not the steel curtain front line by any means, but this is an aggressive group that's playing with unbelievable confidence right now.
You know, and I think the chore that they face Sunday, and you have to figure some notes were taken in detail from dealing with the zone blocking that the Chiefs presented last week. They got gashed on that first play and haven't forgotten that for a second. This is a similar style that the Chiefs play with zone blocking, and they've got a similarly dangerous back in Alfred Morris.
Well, I think this is really interesting. This is a discipline game. This is like when a big-time college program goes up and catches one of the military academies.
Navy running the wishbone.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, because you don't see it all year long, right. And then you get it on Monday and you say, hey, listen, you got a problem. It's hard to find the football here. So this is a discipline game, I think. Yeah. And you're right, they were a little undisciplined on that first play against Jamal Charles, but they tightened it up after that, and they played very, very well against that. So this is a game where you got to honor, you know, where you are and where you're supposed to be. You can't be a hero in this game.
Right.
You just have to be in your spot, I think.
Right. And Phil Taylor put it succinctly the other day when he said, you just hit everybody in the backfield. Just, you know, find somebody, and if he's got the ball or not, just give him a shot.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes coaches go and you don't even practice with a football or against a football. You just hit the guy in front of you.
Well, there's remarkable speed when you watch the way that Redskins offense operates, the speed with which everything happens. And it starts, of course, with Robert Griffin III and his ball handling and decisiveness. And, you know, it has to happen quickly and timing. And they've got that down. I mean, they do have that down. And the threats that they have at receiver are the real deal, too. I mean, they can come at you with Pierre Garçon and Josh Morgan, and I mean they can be those guys can be a handful, and Morris again dealing with him as a running back to set a lot of those things up. It's going to happen fast, but at the same time, I do think the Browns defense plays with such a physicality that I, in fact, I would think one of the deciding factors with putting RG3 in there, I think you're putting him up against as physical an opponent as he might see all year.
I'll give you that. And I think the Browns are really taking this as a challenge. You know, I mean, this kid is getting more hype than probably any player in the league at this point. And I think the Browns look at it as, okay, hey, if we can stop this guy, you know, we're finally starting to get a little bit of national love here.
Right.
But if we can shut down the great RG3, then, well, it's about time somebody talks about the Browns.
Yeah, and I think you go back, you know, Tom, so many careers are launched if you can beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving
Day
on national TV. And he certainly did a couple of weeks ago down in Dallas. But the other thing is Pittsburgh kept them quiet. And how do the Steelers do it? They just hit you all day long, and they're very physical with you. And I think that's the blueprint. I really do. I think that's how you have to do it. I think it plays into the Browns' strength, the way they've been playing defense, is they're physical now.
The special teams matchup in this game is also intriguing in light of what we saw, again, last week with that return that Travis Benjamin made. The Redskins have pretty much – I think as strong as special teams overall. They got that reliable kicking game, and they've got the reliable coverage, and they've got dangerous returners. Don't you think in a game that we would probably sit here and figure is going to come down to the wire, be very, very close, and possibly low scoring, that's going to be the difference?
Well, and on an emotional side, you have two guys that are very critical to the Browns on special teams going into the game yet again, wondering if it's their final home game as members of the Cleveland Browns with Cribbs. Cribbs was just really disappointed that he couldn't get out of that shoe top tackle last week because he would have put one in the end zone, too. He was gone. And certainly Dawson. I mean, you know, I'll take him any day of the week over whoever the other team is going to bring in. But, yeah, you're right, Vic. I mean, it could be a game that comes down to a big return. Certainly the Redskins game last week swung on a big return that got them into position to kick the winner.
Yeah, and as you guys know, it's just been fun this week to talk to the guys in the locker room about a meaningful December game at home. Yeah. I mean, it's been so long since we could even say that
in the same sentence.
Yeah, it's fun for us as well. So I'm with you guys. Right. I think it could come down to like your 20-17 game where special teams could swing it.
Yeah, and as we look at, I think the bigger picture here, that this is the first of this three very difficult opponents that they face. Denver, obviously, in the next to last game, and then at Denver, at Pittsburgh. As we size this up, you know, I know the whole mantra of focus is, now we're only going to worry about the Redskins, but I think to a greater extent, how much of a statement is potentially made by this Browns team, which should feel it has the ability to win all of these games.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that they've been tested all year. And when you have so many young players, you hit tests. So, you know, the rookies, just to, you know, get to the stadium on time and be ready to play, that's the first test. And, you know, they got there and they did that. The next test was, hey, can you start winning? Can you win in the division? And they've won a couple of games in the division. Okay, can you beat a team that you're supposed to beat? Can you win on the road? They won in Oakland. They got rid of that little problem of losing 12 in a row on the road, you know, after they gave the Dallas game away. And can you beat a team that you're supposed to beat? And they did that last week. But this is now the next test. Yeah. You know, you got three teams that these games, it looks like, are going to mean a lot to those teams, even if they're in playoffs already. You know, can they line themselves up the proper way? Can they get a bye? Can they get a home field? So it's going to mean a lot, and there's going to be a lot on the line for them. So you're going to get their A game.
Yeah, so we're taking our ACTs this weekend.
We are, yes.
And, you know, it's been interesting all year. I'm sure, you know, this week, I'm sure Coach Shermer has told the guys, hey, look, you know, let's not worry about the playoffs. Let's not even talk about the playoffs. But I also know during the course of the year it's been presented to them that if we take care of what we have to take care of, there's a big prize at the end. So, hey, wouldn't it be fun to see this team win out, or at least get to that point where that game in Pittsburgh on December 30th is for almost everything?
It would be amazing. But I don't want to let myself go there yet. guys, thank you very much. The Roundtable, Jim Donovan, voice of the Browns, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.